From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of January 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley at Adium Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the half hour, we'll take up the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, CoBank has completed its year-long merger with U.S. Bank. It is now one of four remaining banks in the farm credit system. That system started with 37 regional banks. And cotton farmers say they'll plant fewer acres this year, switching instead to soybeans. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories, and then I'll tell you how to stress test your farm for the coming year. Oh, and don't forget that Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will be here, too, to take up the agricultural forecast for the globe. The weather, that is, and that it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The futures in the wheat pit were lower for the day. The March contract at 6.50, down 7 cents. May futures down 8 at 6.68 in July. 6.84, that was down 7 and 3 quarters in Kansas City. The July hard red at 7.29 and 3 quarters was a penny higher on the day. March corn unchanged at 6.58 and a half back in Chicago. May futures 6.66 and 3 quarters, down a quarter of a cent. July contract at $6.73. Three quarters lower, and September corn, 6.17 and three quarters, down a quarter of a cent on the day. December futures at $5.89 and three quarters, down a quarter, and the March at 6.01 and three quarters, down one quarter of a cent. The May futures were unchanged of next year at 6.09 and a quarter. January soybeans for the day, $12.21 and a half, up 3 1/4 cents. March futures, $12.30, 2 1/2 higher. The May at $12.39 and a half, up 2 1/4. July soybeans, $12.48 and a half, up 1 3/4. In November contract at $12.19 and a quarter for the new crop, up a quarter of a cent. Bean meal futures at $3.17.50, down $1.70, rather up $1.70. January futures into bean oil, 7 cents lower at $52.73. The live cattle futures finished the February at $121.62 and a half, up 7 1/2. April at $125.50, 22 and a half higher. January feeders at $147.75, up $1.07 and a half, and February lean hogs at 85.17 and a half, down 35 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's how the outside markets are trading at this hour. February crude oil futures at $103.25 a barrel, up 29 cents. Ethanol at $2.22 and 8 cents. That's a penny and 2 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.09 and a half, up 10 2/10 of a cent. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.08 and 9 cents of a cent, up 5 1/10 of a cent. Gold futures on the day up $12.20 at $1,611.90 a troy ounce, in the Dow at 12,422, now just about 25 points higher. The dollar at 80.13, up 0.52 on the day. The weather forecast from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon and this evening says we'll go from sunny skies with a high of near 41 degrees to mostly clear for the evening and a low of 27. Tomorrow we'll see sunny skies again. High of 47 degrees with a west-southwest wind between 9 and 11. That'll gust all the way to 16. And then tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a low of 35 degrees with the southwest wind at 9 to 11. Friday, mostly sunny skies return with a high of 51 degrees with a west-southwest wind at 10 to 15. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 33. And Saturday, partly sunny, a high near 42 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 27. Sunday, sunny and 40. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 27. On Monday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 42 degrees. And Monday night, partly cloudy with a low of 29 degrees. By the time we get to Tuesday of next week, we'll see mostly sunny skies and a high near 46 degrees. At the bottom of the half hour, we'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast. We'll be joined by Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Of course, it is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line now with us to take a look at what's happening in the world of agricultural futures is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon on this nice, sunny, cool, crisp afternoon. A lot of corn and soybeans are coming in at the ADM terminal here in Oakland.
Well, tell me more about that and why you think they're on their way in.
Well, I think these are probably pre-sales, and it's a beautiful, cold, crisp day. They can get in and out of their barn and lots pretty easily, and they're moving the grain in, it's almost like second harvest here in Oakland. Mm-hmm. The big news, of course, is the market was rather tranquil. At 6 o'clock this morning, one of my meteorologists that I have the most confidence in said it's a wetter forecast. Drew Lerner basically still talking about this very dry situation on his forecast model. But, you know, when we look at the thing, you know, with MF Global, hedge funds, European banks, the Volcker Rule, Goldman Sachs, you know, there's not the players out there there was a year, 2, 3 years ago. And maybe this is going to be more of the norm. But, needless to say, South America does need rain. There was some improved chances of rain on several of the weather models that came in early this morning and at midday. So the market decided to just have put in quite of a quiet day here today.
So when you refer to the norm, you're saying that back to a less volatile market.
Yeah, and there's going to be still some big money people, you know, that still have a lot of bucks to throw at the commodity market, but it's not the 150 commodity funds with over $1 billion apiece. You know, those have been thinned down to some, and there's, you know, not the movement in the commodity markets. You know, there still can be quite a bit of action in the stock market and also quite a bit of action in the crude oil market, but the grains are probably going to be a little quieter this 2012 year.
We're just a week and a day away from the United States Department of Agriculture's final crop production figures for the year. Will they change very much, in your opinion?
You know, I really don't think so. You know, we had a pretty good crop here in East Central Illinois, both on corn and soybeans. And, you know, the million-dollar question when I talked to some people in the industry about will there be any surprises on the stocks report, and the answer is they don't think so. But don't forget, Joe's still in charge out there, so there can always be some surprises. But the general feeling is that the market doesn't expect a big major surprise in this from my when I survey people.
You're right. So there are really two reports: the stocks, grain stocks, as of what, December 1. So that would be the first quarter stocks, and they could make some changes, but it seems not likely, I suppose, at this point.
Yeah, and you know, we all know the think tank people, the informant people, say that you know the corn carryover is going to be rather snug, but we do have this enormous acreage that's of corn going to be planted, wheat that's going to be planted, soybeans that are going to be planted, and the real dry area, of course, is Brazil and Argentina, and there's going to be rain rather quick in Brazil from our forecasters. But I think the big factor here is that there's still a ton of corn and feed wheat out there that's keeping our market kind of in check for a while.
All right. So if there's much of it out there, and it was just in the bin and we hadn't accounted for it at this point? Or?
Well, I think it's in, for example, a lot of corn in the Ukraine, feed wheats from Australia,
and world marketplace.
Global marketplace. And when I talked to the people about have farmers done some selling in the last 10 days to 2 weeks, and the answer is yes. And it's getting close to, you know, about the normal 50% level at this time.
Are you a hanger-on of old crop for corn at this
point?
You
know, I'm of the opinion that I would take risk off the table and convert it to cash. And if a person can always buy some kind of an option strategy to take care of it. Basically, you know, when people start using the comparison of 2008, it was also dry and very dry in Brazil, but they have a very good crop, and if rain comes in the nick of time, we will have a lot of corn and soybeans out of Brazil. I did talk to a gentleman today, said the winter wheat farmers in the West planted a lot of wheat, winter wheat, and this last snowstorm and rain, that winter wheat crop is starting to look a lot better.
Anything for the livestock folks for the day?
Nothing too much other than the fact that, you know, we'd like to see higher cattle prices for the cattle people, but for some reason the cattle market's rather dull.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a profitable day, Todd. Hey,
and we'll talk to you on Friday for Commodity Week this week, too. That is Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll join us again on Friday for Commodity Week when our guest will be Dr. Michael Cordonnier. He's with Corn and Soybean Advisor out of Hinsdale, Illinois, and an expert in the crops from South America, an agronomist. We hope to get some new information from him about how they're faring. That's Commodity Week, our weekend look at what happened in the world of agriculture. We'll record about 4:30 Friday afternoon and post it to our website at willag.org around 6 o'clock Central Time Friday night. Well, Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help us take a look at the agricultural news for this Wednesday afternoon.
In agricultural news, CoBank, a major lender to U.S. agriculture and part of the government-sponsored farm credit system, said yesterday its merger with U.S. Ag Bank was complete after a year-long process to combine the two FCS banks. The merger, which closed on January 1st, makes Denver-based CoBank one of four banks in the farm credit system and an $85 billion co-op serving U.S. farmers and agribusiness. At one time, there were 37 banks in the FCS regional system. The combined bank will provide financing to more than 70,000 farmers, ranchers, and rural borrowers through Farm Credit Association banks in 23 states. The Farm Credit System, a cooperative with more than $225 billion in total assets, was created by Congress in 1916 to provide credit to U.S. farmers. It obtains its basic capital by selling securities on domestic and international markets. Attendees at the Beltway Cotton Conference in Orlando say that U.S. farmers are expected to plant less cotton in 2012 as a decline in prices to below $1 per pound and escalating costs of key inputs such as fuel make it more attractive to sow cotton and soybeans. U.S. cotton plantings will range, according to participants at the conference, from 12 million to 13.5 million acres. That's down 8 to 18% from last year's 14.72 million acres. In 2012, cotton prices fell from record highs above $2.20 a pound in March to around 85 cents in December. Cotton futures were the weakest performing commodity in 2011, losing over a third of their value from end 2010 levels. That's in stark contrast with its over 90% rise in 2010, when cotton was the second biggest gainer in the commodity complex. Officials at the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization say that food prices may ease in 2012 due to a slowing global economy, though no drastic drop from high levels is expected. Global food prices measured by the FAO hit a peak in February of last year, but have been falling since June as crops have improved and concerns about global economic turmoil have reined in demand growth. In 2012, the FAO is expected to focus its efforts on poor countries that are most in need of outside help and a top priority is Africa, especially Northern Africa. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program we post to our website at willag.org. That's willag.org by about 6 o'clock Central Time each and every Friday evening. This week, our guest, Michael Cordonnier. He's a specialist in South American crops, and we'll have an update on the condition of both the corn and soybeans in Argentina and Brazil. It's on Commodity Week, posted to the website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock Friday evening. Now, up next, you know, the federal government has been stress-testing banks to see how they would thrive or just survive under changing economic conditions. It's possible to do the same thing with a farm. I'll have a report from the Farm Doc team at the University of Illinois. They've run the numbers on a typical grain farm in the state. The Farm Doc team at the University of Illinois has gathered up all the numbers from the FBFM records. Now, FBFM stands for Farm Business Farm Management. It's a record-keeping service some farmers use. The aggregated numbers can provide insight to the economics of a farm and just what an average farm in the state looks like. Well, grain farm was used in the case of the stress test, says Gary Schnittke.
Yeah, if we look at net incomes given a $4.50 corn price and a $10.50 soybean price, what we come up for average net incomes for 2012 would be $83,000 per farm. So that, and that's for grain farms in Illinois. And $83,000 an acre is pretty close to the level it was from 2001 through 2006 when we had average net incomes of $63,000. So those long-run prices get us back to the 2001 through 2006 levels.
If the cash prices are dropped to $4 for corn and $10 for soybeans, that same farm just breaks even.
Our 2012 projections for prices put that average farm at $150,000, which is a $5 corn price, $11 soybean price. The long-run price is at $83,000. And a $4 corn price and a $10 soybean price essentially puts that farm at zero net income. So they're zero. And then prices below that lead to losses.
Well, the long-run cash prices of $4.50 for corn and $10.50 for soybeans are just about where most agricultural economists estimate the new midpoints will be. The previous plateau was about $2.42 for corn and $6.15 for soybeans.
What we're trying to identify is approximately where long-run prices are going to be for corn and soybeans. And the number that people keep coming up with $4.50 corn and $10.50 soybeans. So over the next 5 years, you would expect corn to average $4.50 with some years above it, some years below it, but average $4.50.
You can learn more about long-term cash price averages and how to stress test a farm on the Illinois Farm Doc Daily website. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com. Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Ben Stoller is on the phone line with us. Thanks, Ben, for taking the time. Tell me about movement in the area today.
Sure thing. Well, we saw another day of the market trading corn, mostly down for most of the day, kind of rallied towards the end to finish unchanged. Beans are up 3, quiet day. We're continuing to see a fairly significant corn movement here at the beginning of the year.
Are those new sales, or are those just deliveries from previous sales?
Mostly deliveries on previous contracts, but we're definitely seeing some additional farmer selling with the rally we've seen the past week or two.
Taking much in the way of soybeans?
Well, not a whole lot. Soybean basis isn't real strong right now, so I think a lot of guys are holding on to beans to see if they can't get a little stronger basis, but we've certainly seen a nice run-up on the future side.
Come back to the corn market. You've had a few days now at the ethanol plant without the extra tax credit. Has it made any difference at this point?
Well, not really at this point. We did buy quite a bit here when the market ran up and saw our basis here at Climbers, in particular SVAD, and we're seeing that really across the board, ethanol processes across the state basis has weakened somewhat here.
When you look out across the region, your expectations for basis remain strong or not?
I would say steady right now. Not real strong here in January. Probably just see a lot of natural flow, and I think we will strengthen though later out March, April.
And how about for soybean?
Soybean basis right now is not real strong, but it looks to improve in February.
So why not strong now?
I think right now needs are met, and probably just not a lot of demand on the meal side.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn into Delphi, 663. Corn into Climbers, ethanol plant, 668. And into Delphi for beans, 1205.
Thanks so much, Ben. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ben Stoller is with the Anderson's Climbers facility there in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report to talk about the cash grain market. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Now, next week, I'll be on the road on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday with the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. This, I think, is our 16th year. If you have not pre-registered but want to walk in, that's perfectly fine each and every day of that event. We'll be on the road 3 days next week and 4 days the following week. Next week, we'll be in Mount Vernon, Springfield, and right here in Champaign. You can find out all the details on the website at cropsciconferences.com. That's cropsciconferences.com. Next week, we're again in the southern half of the state. And then the following week, we'll make our swing through the northern half of the state, including stops in Bloomington and DeKalb area, Moline, and Quincy. So check out all the details at cropsciconferences.com. And I hope to see you at one of those particular events. You know, the programming here at WILLAG.org is available to you just about any time you'd like. That's on our website at willag.org. You can visit it around the clock and listen to all of our programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report, each and every business day of the year. It's part of our agricultural service. We'll say goodbye now to a few of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stick around. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, and we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
It's National Spaghetti Day. Spaghetti pasta dates back at least to the 12th century in southern Italy. In the U.S., spaghetti appeared in a few restaurants around the end of the 1800s. By the way, there are about 600 different shapes of pasta. On this day in agricultural history in 1493, Columbus returned from his first voyage to the New World. Among the passengers, a number of kidnapped American Indians. In 1761, Stephen Hales died, an English botanist. He pioneered the quantitative experimental approach in plant and animal physiology. He demonstrated the importance of air and light in plant growth and the pressure roots exert on sap. In 1846, Edward Johnson was born, an American electrical engineer and inventor. He created the first electric lights on a Christmas tree in 1882. And in 1863, James Plimpton of New York patented the four-wheeled roller skate. Plimpton's rocket skates allowed people to steer just by leaning to the left or right. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now on the phone line. Drew, we better turn our attention to South America immediately and talk about weather conditions there and what you see that has happened and what your expectations might be for the next week to 2 weeks or so.
Well, it certainly is a problem right now in Argentina. We've got some very serious crop moisture stress going on across really the majority of the country. Everybody is stressed to a certain degree there, and I'm talking about the crops and not the producers, but I'm sure they're stressed too. But anyway, the situation is really quite serious at the moment. But we do have a storm system on the horizon that is expected to move through most of Argentina's crop country on Monday and on into Wednesday. So Monday through Wednesday, during that period of time, most everybody will get rain at one time or another. The amounts are going to be mostly light, probably quarter to three-quarter inch type rain. Some local totals in the 1 to 1 3/4 inch range will be possible. And certainly those areas that get that kind of rain will be at least doing a little bit better. But, you know, even in our hot, dry summers, when we get a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of rain, it really doesn't help a whole lot unless you get regular occurring follow-up precipitation. And I'm not seeing that. I think there's a chance for some other showers as we move deeper into next week and in the second weekend of the two-week outlook, but I do see more hot, dry weather coming up later in January. So I think a temporary reprieve from the most stressful conditions is coming up here next week, but it's not going to be a fix-all.
Now, these dry areas, would they be typical of a La Nina year for South America?
Yes and no. The La Nina tends to have the biggest impact on agriculture in Argentina during the month of December, pretty similar to what we've had here in the past few weeks. When you get into January and February, normally the La Nina starts to shift its influence more into the southernmost parts of Brazil, and Argentina starts doing better. And that's one of the reasons why their soybean crop tends to not be as seriously impacted by La Nina, but the early corn is almost always hurt. And in this particular case, though, we've got an 18-year cycle that's playing out in South America that may not allow for the rainfall to improve quite as quickly as it would in a normal year. And so for that reason, I'm expecting to see more stress and strain here through the majority of January, and it may actually go in a little bit into February. But with that said, be careful not to assume it's going to be just as bad as it has been. I think we'll get a little bit of rain once in a while, but the crops will still be stressed and we'll still be losing a little yield potential.
Is that to say, and I'm not sure geographically about where this actually takes place, that the second crop corn, I think that normally might show up further north in Brazil, would be impacted by the dry weather conditions that are now taking place across parts of those growing regions?
Actually, in Brazil, the situation there is not nearly as bad as it is in Argentina. Their second crop is actually produced more widespread now than it used to be, so it's in the south as well as the north. But the driest areas in Brazil right now are in the far south, mostly Rio Grande do Sul, neighboring areas of Paraguay, and in westernmost sections of Paraná and southernmost Mato Grosso do Sul. As we go forward through the next few weeks, we will probably see a very gradual expansion of the drier conditions. a little bit more deeply into southern Brazil. But the northern areas are going to continue fairly wet. I don't think we're going to see much dryness up there. But a big disaster like what's going on in Argentina, I don't think so.
Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.